This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The wait is over. Welcome to the NFL schedule release.
There are teams that are expecting 100% attendance this year.
I cannot wait to hear that.
Coaches now have 4 months to begin game planning for their opening day assignment.
It may be only May, but there are winners and losers. That's right, with the NFL schedule, it is Chris Carlin, it is Bob Wischusen, and for Bart and Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, as always, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests will appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And there, I tell you, it doesn't matter what the event is, the NFL is going to get your attention, and last night, with the release of the schedule, they got your attention. You know, it's hyped up throughout the day when you get little leaks here and there, but you get a feel for the primetime schedule right away. And you get a sense that the league has got this handle on teams that before, when they went into last season, you wouldn't have necessarily thought that they were going to be great. And we always talk about it's only May, right? But, Bob, I think that the league got a lot of things right last night with the teams that they picked.
All right, what jumped out at you the most? Give me the couple of things that jumped out at you the most where you're saying they got it right.
Well, I look at the way that the way that the Monday night schedule played out.
Okay.
And I think it played out very, very well. I think you can look at teams later in the year on the Monday night schedule and say they may end up with a bad game. You may look at the Patriots in week 13 and say, well, they may not be very good. They may be playing Mac Jones at that point. Cam Newton, who knows at this point. Mm-hmm. But Patriots-Bills, to me, is always going to be a very interesting game late in the year. I look at the Vikings and the Bears, and while I'm certainly far from sold on the Bears, that's a divisional matchup in week 14 where you're going to get a really good game. I think the primetime slate as a whole, you might look at those games and say, how do those jump out at you? I think the primetime slate as a whole was excellent for all parties involved, and you have the league did a great job with a team like the Packers of being able to have some flexibility to get out of games later in the year by backloading.
They're trying to hedge their bets because they don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be. So putting the Packers on Sunday night a couple of times, knowing you can flex it out, they obviously are a little CYA there. I think the Monday night schedule can go both ways. I absolutely understand, and I agree with you, you go to the night games. Right, you can look at any team's individual schedule if you're in that hometown and dive in. We're in New York. We could certainly dive in to the Jets and Giants. I think both of their schedules are very interesting. But you go to the night games from a national perspective because the night games tell you who the league thinks is going to be good. And I disagree with some of the teams that they are kind of saying they think are going to be good. I think the Bears are at the top of that list. I'm surprised that a team that everywhere, no matter what Vegas book that you look at, their over-under is 7.5 in a 17-game season. I would probably bet the under because they're really going to be on a team that doesn't have a ton of offensive talent starting a rookie quarterback or Andy Dalton. So I'm surprised that they put the Bears in so many standalone national spots, whether it's Monday night, Sunday night, Thanksgiving. All right, that aside. But if you look at the end of the Monday night football schedule, so once you get past Giants-Bucks in week 11. And that's a natural, right? I mean, the Giants against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That obviously, it's New York. It's Tom Brady. It's the defending champions. That's a natural, attractive matchup. Seahawks, Washington, week 12. Yeah, all right. It's Ryan.
A lot of people are very high on Washington.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, 13 games into the season on Monday Night Football.
Might be
okay.
One of the best pass rushes and front sevens in the league against Russell Wilson.
All right, whatever. We look at the last four games, though. There's a lot up in the air about these last five games, but you see what the strategy is behind if there's something up in the air, how we can almost guarantee ramifications. Right, week 13, Patriots-Bills. Will the Patriots be any good? It's either Cam Newton or Mac Jones at quarterback. Who knows? But it's a divisional matchup. Rams-Cardinals, week 14, divisional matchup.
Yep.
Vikings-Bears, week 15. That could be Kellen Mond against Justin Fields at that point. Both teams could be, you know, below 500, but you're leaning on it being a divisional matchup. And even the last game of the Monday Night Football schedule, week 17, the 3rd of January, Browns, Steelers, divisional matchup. So it is smart to backload the schedule with as many divisional matchups as you can, because now you're, even if some of these teams are not what you think are hoping they're going to be, there's ramifications that you can expect to be riding on those games.
Absolutely. And look, the Browns Steelers in week 18 or week 17 could end up being a bad game. It could end up being a bad game because Pittsburgh could fall apart this year, but it's also a major rivalry game. You look at the Rams-Cardinals. Listen, I agree with you on that, but I want to have those divisional games. Kyler Murray's an exciting player. You know, the Vikings-Bears, the Packers could be bad. Who knows what the Lions are going to be with Jared Goff? So that could be a game with massive divisional implications. What I think is, as a whole, the league gave you everything that you would want later in the year in prime time, and they also have the ability with the Sunday night games. They're covered. If Aaron Rodgers is a Green Bay Packer, you're covered. If he's not, they can get out of those games and put the better ones in.
See, I'm not sure about that. Like, I even on the Sunday night schedule, I think they could have done a better job of creating more certainty on the back end of the schedule. If I told you in a vacuum, the games that you know are no-brainers, it doesn't matter. They're played week 1 or week 18 or any week in between. Those games are probably going to be home runs for you. You'd probably pick a game like Chiefs-Ravens or Bucks-Patriots mm-hmm. or Bills-Chiefs, Seahawks-Steelers. That's four of the first six Sunday night games. The back end of the Sunday night schedule, they got the Packers on there twice. Now, they've got the ability to flex.
Yeah.
So they can always correct that error. But and maybe that's what they're thinking.
And the Packers are a national fan base type team.
But let's take the home run matchups early, knowing that we can flex to home run matchups late. Unfortunately, at least for right now on Monday Night Football, ESPN doesn't have that. You know, we don't have the ability to flex games. That's coming, but we don't have the ability to flex games on Monday night. So sometimes you'd like to see some of those just can't miss, like, you know, Chiefs-Ravens, if you put that in week 14 or 15, short of one of those teams running away with their division and resting guys, Chiefs-Ravens is going to be a home run matchup no matter where it falls on the schedule. On Sunday Night Football, it's week 2.
Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless with the NFL schedule. Are there a couple of games in particular outside of Chiefs-Ravens, outside of Bucks-Patriots, which, by the way, will be in week 4, on Sunday Night Football in Foxborough, are there a couple of games that you are really looking forward to, cannot wait to see, that maybe would fly under the radar a little bit?
Sure. Jets-Falcons in London. Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling?
Wait.
Yeah, why are you laughing at me when I say that?
9:30 Sunday morning, Jets-Falcons. No, but I mean, I'll give you one. I mean, Bills-Chiefs in week 5.
Of course.
You know, when I look, like, Bills-Chiefs is, you know, the Bills went out, and what did they do with their first couple of draft picks? They took guys who were pass rushers. They figured out, oh, you know what? We should probably be able to rush the passer.
That game's not under the radar. It's the AFC Championship game all over again. How is that game under the radar?
Well, under the radar in terms of it's not getting as much as some of those other ones are right away.
It's not going to get as much attention as, like, Bucks-Patriots with Tom Brady going back to Foxborough.
Oh, okay.
But on anybody's list,
but
that game's going to be
Chiefs,
top 10.
It's not going to get, yes, top 10, absolutely. Right. I look at a game where I want to see a team like, let's say, I want to see what the NFC East is going to be about. And it doesn't look like on paper like it's a great division, right? Is that fair to say?
Could create a lot of late season drama, but
it could,
like it did last year. You wanted to see who the best of the worst was going to be.
Right. I look at where the Cowboys are, and I look at the Cowboys in week 1 right away getting a massive test with on the road at Tampa Bay. I mean, that's not under the radar because it's the opener, but it's fantastic. I look at Dallas, and they're a team that fascinates me no matter what. Yes, they're a national brand, but when I look at them as a whole, I want to see a team that is going to really be, whether or not they're going to be good.
Yep.
I mean, I look at the Cowboys, and they're playing the Eagles in week 3. I look at the Cowboys, and they're playing late in the season in Philadelphia, a game that could have ramifications in that division because that division's not great.
Yeah, the Cowboys' schedule gets funky end of November, early December. Now, you know they're going to play on Thanksgiving. That's a given. So there's going to be a Thursday game. They've got back-to-back Thursday games. So they play at the Chiefs on the 21st, and then they play the Raiders on a short week on Thanksgiving. So not only do you have the Chiefs on the road, play the Chiefs on the road, come home and play the Raiders on a short week, then they play the Saints the following Thursday. So they play back-to-back Thursdays, and the Saints road game on the following Thursday is the first of three in a row on the road. And if you look at the NFL schedule, it's very, very rare that teams will play three straight road games without a bye. Now, one of those games being a Thursday kind of gives them a mini bye in between because they'll play Thanksgiving the following Thursday, weekend off, road, road. But late in the season, when you're banged up, having three straight road trips, having two straight Thursday games, playing the Chiefs on the road, and then having to play on a short week on Thanksgiving, that's a funky schedule for a football team to have to deal with late in the year if the injuries start to pile up.
All right, let's talk about that for a second. Get your thoughts on your team's schedule. What matchups you can't wait to see at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, you're the Cowboys, and you have those three straight road games.
Right.
I'd be thoroughly annoyed if I were the Cowboys at the fact that the Eagles, for instance, are not going to get on a plane after Week 10. I mean, that's unfair.
Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes it happens, yes. But like if I was Dallas and I know that they have not had to travel very much, whether it's going up the turnpike to play the Jets or going to Washington and being in that situation, like I would, if I was Dallas, I'd look at this like, wait, what?
I'm just saying, I'm scanning every other team in the NFL.
Yeah.
I cannot find another team. Maybe I'm missing something. I can't find another team in the NFL that's got three straight road games without a bye.
Okay, how about five out of seven without a bye?
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
There are times where you're going to be loaded up with road games. There's a lot of examples here of three out of four on the road, four out of six on the road, five out of seven on the road.
So when it's
extreme. To play three in a row on the road is very unusual in the NFL.
So do you think it's only when it's extreme like that, and I'll agree that's extreme, that it really can affect a team, or do you believe in the timing of games when you have a stretch that's particularly difficult?
Oh, no, it could affect you. Sure it can.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on sometimes. Like, look, I'm the Jets radio guy, so I am obviously historically very familiar with their schedule. I remember one year they had four West Coast trips. The following year, if memory serves, they didn't go west of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge factor.
Yes.
That's a huge advantage.
Yes.
That makes your schedule much easier. So, look, if you're an NFC East or AFC East team, and in the cycle, you end up somehow getting the AFC West and the NFC West as the two divisions that you cycle through, that's hard. That's four West Coast trips. That's not easy.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's begin with Justin in Kansas City, starting us off on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Justin, what's up, bud?
Hey, we're looking forward for the Raiders coming back into town. Get back at them for doing their celebratory lap around Arrowhead last year.
I got to tell you, if I were the Raiders, I would have done the celebratory lap around Arrowhead last year because there was no way that you would have expected them to go in and win that game. And I know, like, that's such a heated rivalry game, right? But for the Chiefs at this point, just beating the Raiders, even though the Raiders won that game as they did, I don't look at that for the Chiefs, and I'm not circling that game where a Chiefs fan might be. Not this year, at least. 888-SAY-ESPN. Here's Jermaine in Virginia up next. Jermaine, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man? I heard y'all say the Kansas City Buffalo game. I'm a Buffalo fan, man. What y'all think about that Tampa Bay Buffalo game?
What do we think about every game that Tom Brady's going to go up against a team he's very familiar with? Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, you've got a team that won the Super Bowl last year against a team that everybody is going to pick, I think, as maybe the sexy pick, if you're not picking the Chiefs, to go to the Super Bowl this year. Is there another team outside of the Chiefs who are the favorite that you are thinking is more on the rise in the AFC than the Bills? No.
No, and it's Brady and it's Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, look, we've had that matchup before, but Josh Allen now has reached that next level. Josh Allen has reached that MVP level, And I know you and I talked about this before the show. When you're looking at the schedules and you're trying to figure that out, and you're trying to figure out what team has an advantage, you're looking at the quarterback. Who's going to be playing quarterback at that point? And with a team, who were we talking about earlier, that doesn't face a real quarterback until Josh Allen about 7 or 8 games into the year?
Where it's settled and it's a star. Yeah, I'm partial to the Jets, yes. Obviously. You're looking for some storylines. And look, they've got a rookie.
Yep.
So they're going to be the same way that a team, they may circle a team on their schedule. Team's going to circle them. They won 2 games last year and they've got a rookie. But if you look at the Jets' first, say, 7 or 8 games against the Panthers to start off the season, Sam Darnold's their quarterback. I mean, 80% of the Jet fan base wanted Sam Darnold out. Then they play the Patriots. Cam Newton or a rookie. They play the Broncos. I mean, that could be Drew Locke. They play the Titans. All right, Ryan Tannehill. But Ryan Tannehill, no one's putting Ryan Tannehill in the top 10 in the NFL in quarterbacks. They play the Falcons, Matt Ryan, and that's in London. Then, again, they play the Patriots. Then they play the Bengals, Joe Burrow with one knee. They play the Colts. Carson Wentz got shipped out by Philly because they wanted to move on to Jalen Hurts. They get halfway through the season when they play Buffalo, where you know for certain that is a franchise quarterback with a big future in front of him in Josh Allen coming in to play them. So like, if I'm a team, you're looking at your schedule and you're wondering, all right, home, road, division, whatever. To me, start thinking in your mind who the quarterback is of the team you're going to play week after week after week. And instead of putting the team name on the schedule, just list the 17 quarterbacks and see if those quarterbacks give you a chance to have some hope to make
a
little run.
If you have a team that has good defense, like Miami's going to be, we don't know what Tua is yet. We don't know what Tua is yet, but Miami's got a really good defense.
I'm not a Tua believer. Yeah. We were having this conversation off the air earlier. I am not one that thinks that Tua is going to be, I think the Jets had Chad Pennington.
Yep.
He was an incredibly accurate, by NFL standards, that sounds like such an insult to say this, but by NFL standards, Chad Pennington was an incredibly smart, incredibly accurate lollipop thrower of the football.
Right.
To me, that's what Tua is. And I remember talking to Phil Sims about this one time off the air, and I'm singing Chad's praises. It's amazing how smart he is, and he's always able to overcome A, B, and C. And I remember Phil Sims saying, look, I'm just telling you, there is at least 5 or 6 times in every game, especially big games, where something's going wrong, where whatever play you ran, it didn't work. The defense figured it out, and now it's 3rd and 9, and you drop back there, and your guys are all covered. And at some point, you have to have the ability to say, you know what, that guy's not open, but I'm just fitting it in there. And if you don't have a guy that can do that, at some point during the season, especially in big games against good teams, that is going to hurt you. I think Tua is in the category of the guy that can't just stand back there, and when stuff breaks down and doesn't happen the way it's supposed to, that he can just fit it in there.
The Dolphins better hope so, considering that they were in a position to have the number 3 overall pick.
And passed.
And passed on doing
that. You're right.
Kevin in Dallas is up next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Obviously, my team would be the Cowboys. I'm interested in game one. I think that our defense was a liability, to say the least, last year. And I think going up against Brady will let us know right off the bat how good our defense is and how much of improvement has been made with the defense. I'm not worried about the offense. You know, a lot of people may be worried about scoring with people, but you got to remember, we were averaging 32 points a game.
That's fine. Your defense is still a liability.
Before he got hurt.
Your defense is still a liability. And, you know, Bart and I have talked about this. He's a lot higher on that defense than I am. I have to see it. I have to see the Cowboys actually be markedly improved defensively. I know how much they love Micah Parsons, but I don't know that he's going to come in and have a massive influence on them getting better defensively right away.
And as far as the Raiders are concerned, if I counted it up right, I think the Raiders have 4 games on their schedule with less than a week to prepare. They play 4 games. Almost 25% of their schedule is played on short rest.
Gruden must love that. Must absolutely love that. Short rest. I mean, there are some weird anomalies. The 49ers traveling 28,000 miles. and other teams traveling 9,000 miles.
I know, but
this
that's and you know what? It is like a once every however the stars have to align, a once every 12-year or something cycle where you're a West Coast team or an East Coast team.
Or even getting more rest.
And it cycles through where you play the two divisions on the opposite coast. And that means you've got to make a lot of long trips.
It's been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We are just getting rolling on Barton Hahn. It's Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for the boys. You know, matchups are not the only things that determine a successful season. Some teams do draw that short straw. We'll tell you who really got hosed. That's coming up in moments right after Bob tells you about our friends from Vivid Seats.
That's a good tee up because I didn't realize I needed the copy until you just started to roll me there. You know what that is? That is you are a professional radio host. The 2021 NFL schedule, as we talked about, is officially released, which means the NFL season feels like it's right around the corner. Live events are making a comeback, thank goodness, get the fans back in the stands. And there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NFL tickets and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. It feels great to finally say that. You know, look, I called games last season in an empty stadium. It's awful. I mean, it's great that the games were happening. It was fun to be there. It's tremendous just that they were able to figure out a way to navigate through a pandemic and give us a season. It stinks being in an empty stadium.
It's the worst.
It doesn't matter what they play out of the scoreboard, what the sound effects are. It's awful. Well, this year, it looks like we are going to have the fans back in. And if you're a Vivid Seats guy, you can earn up to 9% cash back with Vivid Seats rewards. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Bob Wischusen, Chris Carlin, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Which of the revenge games are you most looking forward to this year, Swaggoo?
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We got a quarterback and a head coach who are the same damn age that's about to play against each other. This is the matchup that dreams are made of.
Week 4. Sunday Night Football, Bucks and the Patriots. It is ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn today. All guests appear on the Bart and Hahn Show via the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, so that game is week 4.
Yep.
And we understand as we look at the Patriots roster, they may not be great, especially at the quarterback position. They've gone out and spent a ton of money. I still believe that will live up to its billing right now. And the reason is Belichick will have something for Brady. He will have something for Brady from the ability to go and really put him under the gun. And it's the first time he's getting a chance to do that.
Well, it's good that it's in Foxborough. That helps the Patriots. But if you were to put a point spread on that game right now, look, take the Belichick-Brady drama out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the two teams on the field, right? Like, just look at the personnel. Team that went to the Super Bowl last year and is bringing everybody back against a below 500 opponent from last season. So what do you think the spread would be?
Well, I understand a below 500 opponent from last season that has brought in a ton of free agents and is a completely different roster.
And how often does bringing the free agent cash register work?
But it's a different team. The point spread to me is not what I'm fascinated by. It's the fact that Belichick gets a chance to try to stop the guy who basically helped carry him for the majority of his career. And he has always had ways to stop dynamic players or to at least let a team beat him one way. So is Belichick in that game going to look at the Buccaneers and say, I'm taking this away when they have so many great receivers?
And all you've ever heard about Tom Brady his entire career, and I remember talking to Jet coaches about this, take whatever you want away from him. He is a football computer, a football savant. He will see on the first drive what you're trying to take away, and he'll be like, fine, take that away. I'm going over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. So to me, if that game were
being
played...
So you don't think it's going to be that good of a game.
If that game were being played in Tampa, I would pick the Bucs to win by 14, 17 points. That game being played in Foxborough and all of the emotion of it, and you know, I mean, that Patriot team with the home crowd, they will be as amped as you could possibly be. Their defense should be a different defense, not just because of the free agent money that they spent, be able to control the game, adding the tight ends, having that element to their offense again.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense, going to get all the COVID guys back. I think it should be a close enough game that it's interesting in the fourth quarter, but I'll pick the Bucs to win the game.
You know who's interested in it the most and thinks the Bucs are absolutely going to roll? That would be Tom Brady Sr., who earlier today cold called Boston radio station 98.5 to offer up his thoughts.
Are you hearing his thoughts?
I am not hearing his thoughts.
All right. I'm not sure if his thoughts are playing.
We'll try to get that back in a minute. if it was, and we just didn't hear it, we apologize. But it's more important that we hear it.
Maybe someone in the studio give us a thumbs up or not as to whether or not that did play. But I want to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's hit the calls at 888-729-3776. Let us check in with Ryan in Phoenix up first. Ryan, what's going on? You're on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm Ryan. I'm from Phoenix. I'm a Browns fan. I was wondering what you guys thought of the Browns having the game against the Ravens and then a bye week and playing the Ravens again with the Ravens having to play the Steelers in between.
Well, it's obviously – first of all, I'm with Bob. I think the Steelers could take a major step backward this year. I still think they'll be pretty good defensively, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that Ben Roethlisberger is going to make it through this season. So it is an advantage to have that bye week in between, but I don't think it's as much of a challenge as it might have been in years past.
Again, weird schedule anomaly. This, I think, happened to the Jets last season. They played the Dolphins bye week Dolphins. It's something that once in a while pops up, and it creates a very interesting anomaly in the middle of the schedule. You're going to get that great rivalry game two times in 3 weeks. But I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like the home and home in football. I like to spread those games out a little bit more, mm-hmm. especially a division rival. Spread those
you
games out a little bit more.
You had it last year with the Dolphins,
yes,
right?
Spread those games out a little bit more. I think it adds to the ability to have an early season storyline and then build towards the rematch later in the year if the two teams end up being as good as we think they're going to be.
All right, here's Tom Brady Sr. from earlier on 98.5.
And by the way, he was not booked as a guest.
No, he just cold called.
He called in. He called in to offer that on his own. Now,
but I like the assassin way in which he did it, just at the very end, sliding it in. And we expect to beat them rather handily.
If you're Tom Brady Jr.,
yeah,
are you calling up Dad, going, Dad, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why? It's not like there's not going to be enough build up for that game. Now I have to have you. With bulletin board trash talk material,
I think I think if Tom Brady was still in New England, he'd be hearing about it from Belichick. I don't think he'll care as much anymore.
I think there's a very good reason why this is the first time we've ever heard something like that said by Senior, because I'm sure Junior told him all those years, hey,
yeah,
we don't. That's not how we play that.
We don't pick up the phone and start dialing to call him.
Not if you're a Patriot.
No. One thing I wanted to get to here is, I talked about the miles that the 49ers have to fly. And the fact that you have other teams that won't nearly have to go as far. How about the rest days, though, with the Patriots in particular? This is bizarre, and this is a quirk that, in my estimation, can't ever happen.
Right.
The Patriots are going to have 15 days less rest than their opponents this season. That's just wrong. That's just, and nobody's going to cry for New England. I understand that. But that's just unfair.
Yeah, don't care.
Yeah, I know you don't care, Jet Boy, but yep. I understand if you're an NFL team that you'd be thoroughly annoyed by that.
Don't
and a
care.
Lot of players on that team are new to the Patriots, yep. And they're looking at it like, wait a minute.
Sorry, whatever. You came to the wrong guy with that one.
The Panthers, meanwhile, will have 13 more days of rest than their opponents. And the Bengals and Panthers this season are not playing a game where their opponent has more rest than they do. That's an advantage. The rest days are a huge advantage. And I think especially now, when you look at how the Players Association is fighting so hard about all of the off-season stuff and everything during the year, they're trying to keep their guys as healthy and fresh as possible. It does not remotely interest you.
Nope.
James in Tennessee. James, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. One, what you just said there, Carlin, I want to ask you, you know, I have no gripes with adding a game. It was inevitable. But can they please add one extra bye for these teams to get healthy? Because if you really are concerned about player safety and being able to generate extra revenue with an extra game, you got to have players to do it. You got to have something to watch. Keep these guys healthy. That's the only thing I don't like. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Two, Bob,
yep.
I got to ask you, don't you feel like Brady, at this point in his career, being the leader that he is with this team and what we just saw him do, don't you feel that?
Oh, no. Don't I feel what? Call back, get a clearer line, James, and I would be happy to tell you everything that I feel.
I'm looking at how this played out, and I'm fascinated by the fact that we have so many instances this year where you really get a chance to, not just with when you're playing or not who you're playing, but when you're playing teams. I think that there are teams that got huge advantages because of the rest, and I think there are teams that got huge advantages with not having to travel nearly as much as others.
Just the way it works. It's cyclical.
I get
it's the way it works.
I get it's cyclical, but I think they have to find a way to even it out.
How can you even that out unless you put everybody in the central time zone?
Bob, I'm not.
How are you going to do that?
I'm not a math guy, really.
And yeah,
I can tell. I think that we need to get some really smart math guys on.
All right, yeah. The really smart math guy can't take San Francisco and plop it next to Cleveland so that they could take a bus over to play the Browns. Like, if you live in California and you play in a league where a lot of teams are east of the Mississippi, you know what? Occasionally, you're going to have to get on an airplane and fly somewhere.
My point is, the disparity shouldn't be that big.
It's cyclical. You can't do anything about it. The only way to make it fair, or at least the only way to make the travel even out, would be to have the West Coast teams play the West Coast teams only every single year so that they're making the same types of trips that the majority of the rest of the league, because most of the NFL is Nashville and East. So if you look, I remember talking to Wayne Gretzky when he was with the Rangers and asking him about the challenge of playing in the Western Conference opposed to the Eastern Conference. He was like, are you kidding me? Edmonton, we would play like on a Tuesday night against Dallas and then the next night play home. Look at the flight from Dallas to Edmonton, two teams that are in the Western Conference, whereas right now we're taking a bus to half the games that we play. So that's just the nature of the beast if you play for a team that is kind of out on an island unto itself geographically.
Barton Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Still to come, even without playing last night, the New York Knicks accomplished something they haven't accomplished in 8 years. We'll discuss next on Barton Hahn, right after Bob tells you more about our friends from Vivid Saints.
And hopefully they'll have even more people in the garden when the Knicks are doing something that they haven't done in a long time, because we do have the NFL schedule released. It's right around the corner. Live events are making a comeback, and no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back in the action. So grab your NFL tickets. Cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Oh, man, does that feel great to finally say. Get the fans back in the buildings. Get the fans back in the stadiums. I cannot tell you, as a broadcaster of these games, college football, college basketball, the NFL, NBA, whatever, you have been so incredibly missed by all of us that just soak up the atmosphere of big-time sports events. Come on back, and even better, earn up to 9% cash with Vivid Seats Rewards. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. We will dive into the NBA a little bit, and we come back, get more of your calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NFL schedule release is a big topic as well. It's Bob Wischusen, Chris Carlin, in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Bart and Hahn.
Knicks breaking moves. That's right. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen, and for Barton Hahn. I just love your reaction every once in a while when I just, yeah.
Said that like, yeah, like a really overly enthusiastic, like caffeined up FM DJ. Like, because, I got it, yes, the Knicks made the playoffs.
They are in the playoffs, yes, for the first time in 8 years, and they did it without even playing last night. The Hawks winning, among other things, not helping them necessarily. I am still in a position right now. Happy they made the playoffs, happy there's something to care about, and sitting here when I look at the accomplishment and thinking about next week, like, if they're the sixth seed,
so the only way, last long. The only way they actually put the cherry on top is to win these last three games and get to the 4-5?
I think if
they're in the 4-5, it's a series they could win. I think
absolutely.
We both agree. If they're the sixth seed, it's probably, you know, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Right, and it's not, listen, we've talked about how the season is still very meaningful in taking a step forward.
Huge.
But as good as it's been, I think you don't want to see it end quickly. And it will end quickly if that's the case.
Hey, look, pressure is a privilege.
Yeah.
Right? They have earned the right to have some pressure on them, to win these last three games, to get into a series that they can win, to be competitive, and maybe even get to the second round. All right, once you have won as many games as they've won, at some point turn the corner and start to say, hey, they've actually got a chance to do a little something here.
I think it's going to be great if they make the 4-5. I think it's going to stink if they don't. And I'm not even a Knicks fan. That's how invested I've gotten this year. It's loco, I know.
No, you're grumpy.
I'm not grumpy.
A little grumpy.
Not grumpy.
Still a little bit grumpy.
Up next, Teddy Bruschi tells us about Belichick and Brady and that matchup in week 4. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.